We were treated to two more fascinating quarter-final ties in the UEFA Champions League on Wednesday. At Old Trafford, Barcelona broke Manchester United hearts after an unfortunate first-half own goal from Luke Shaw. Elsewhere, it was all going to plan for last year's finalists in Amsterdam.
Ronaldo! It had to be him! Cristiano Ronaldo on the stroke of half-time and against the run of play puts Juventus in front at Ajax.
But as Real Madrid recently discovered, you can never write off this amazing Ajax side.
Super strike from David Neres! Ajax back on terms within 30 seconds of the restart. How about that from Neres? And that is no less than Ajax deserve. Ajax 1, Juventus 1.
So both ties delicately poised. Stay with us for the best analysis and reaction from both of tonight's quarter-final first legs right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by our European football expert, Kevin Hatchard. Kevin, great result for Barcelona. Not the best of performances at Old Trafford.
No, it wasn't. They started really well. I think United were too passive in those opening exchanges. The goal when it came was a thing of beauty in many ways because Sergio Busquets with a perfectly judged ball over the top. Exquisite control, which is what we've come to expect from Lionel Messi. Great awareness. He saw Suarez coming in at the far post and Suarez with a clever header that took that unfortunate flick from Manchester United's point of view off Luke Shaw and in. I thought Barcelona defended very well. I thought Longley and Piqué were terrific in the air. Everything that United threw into the box they dealt with. United will feel they didn't take enough risks. Sir Alex Ferguson, their legendary manager, talks about their greatest successes being built on taking risks that weren't enough tonight.
A reminder of Wednesday's quarterfinal first leg results. Manchester United 0, Barcelona 1, Ajax 1, Juventus 1. On Tuesday, of course, it was Spurs 1, Manchester City 0, Liverpool 2, Porto 0. Full analysis of Tuesday's ties. You can download the previous episode of the official UEFA Champions League podcast from Audioboom or Apple Podcasts. You'll hear from Pep Guardiola, Jordan Henderson and Heung-Min Son. But let's start Wednesday's review at Old Trafford, where Manchester United faced Barcelona. Our commentator was Mike Sewell.
Busquets over the top. It's going to find Messi. Can he turn and shoot towards goal? No, he can't. But he can try and tee up Suarez, who heads it across, and it's put in the end by Philippe Coutinho. The two former Liverpool players combined, but the assistant referee has raised his flag. Suarez is onside, and the referee has given the goal after a video review. It's worth pointing out, Suarez's header looked like it was going across goal, not into goal, and it struck the shoulder of Luke Shaw. Smalling, wrong side of him, Suarez lays it on Coutinho! Saved by the left leg of De Gea.
Mike Sewell joins us now, Kevin and myself. Mike, let's talk about the opening goal, the only goal of the game, of course, which initially we thought belonged to Luis Suarez, who's been waiting for an away goal in the Champions League. He won't even get this one. And you did call it roughly at the time, a big deflection.
It was a hard one to see in actual fact, but as Kevin pointed out, the ball over the top from Busquets, Messi did a great job running away from goal, then flipping round and spotting Suarez at the far post. And he headed it down, and to be fair, even if it hadn't flicked off Luke Shaw's shoulder, Coutinho would have got there first to convert it, and they would have scored in any case.
It was actually one of the few moments in the game where Messi was able to make a serious contribution. He had some nice moments, but McTominay and Fred in midfield did a really good job of closing off space for him. But the problem was at the other end for United, because Scott McTominay and Fred, with the best will in the world, are not going to break defences open. And it was crying out for somebody like Juan Mata to come on in the second half, make those positive passes, play through the lines, open up those spaces. Never really did it, and they didn't really push with any conviction to create chances. And Marc-Andre ter Stegen in the Barca goal had a very quiet night.
They hinted at it once they got themselves settled in the game in the first half. They hinted at it with Pogba, and I thought, oh, Pogba's going to get a little bit more involved, and he did to some extent in the first half. But the second half, he was, I wouldn't be cruel enough to say passenger, but he was a shadow of the player that we know he can be.
Well, what they were doing in the first half was actually getting him into positions where he could get the ball under control, look to pick that pass, look to release players on the counter-attack. We didn't really see Romelu Lukaku because he didn't have any service. We had a few moments from Marcus Rashford, but again, the whole game plan was based on contain Barcelona, frustrate them, hit them on the counter with that early ball.
Too slow.
That early ball never came.
Yeah.
And Pogba just wasn't picking up those positions in the second half. And Mike is absolutely right. When you want a player of his quality to stamp his authority on it and say, right, this is my time, I'm going to be able to make something happen, just didn't happen. There was a moment, a really telling moment in the second half, where he received possession from Fred, and there was a lane to run at Sergio Busquets, who'd already been booked. And you're thinking, right, commit Busquets, make him make a challenge, give them something to think about. He passed it straight back to Fred without even looking at the penalty area.
I mean, fundamentally, we're dissecting tactically what Manchester United did tonight. But was there actually enough technical quality in that team, just what they have, those players in their individual attributes, to do those kind of things to this brilliant, let's face it, Barcelona team?
Who weren't brilliant at all.
They weren't brilliant tonight.
I don't know where you'd mark them out of 10 or 6. Or seven, maybe?
Yeah, I think they will feel, certainly the early part of the second half, Barcelona didn't have the control that they would have wanted. But United weren't able to punish them in that way. And there is a question for later on here, in that United did a good job in Paris of being able to make the most of Paris's mistakes and therefore turn a tie in their favour. Did they dominate in Paris? No. Did they dominate at Old Trafford against Paris? No. Here, they looked a step short, and at some stage, given the money that they've spent on players to build the squad they have, somebody has to ask the question, where do we go from here? How do we get from where we are to Barcelona? Yes, they've won in Turin. Yes, they've won in Paris. But do they look like a team that can dominate the best team in the world right now? No.
And you also have to bear in mind that domestically, they're in danger of not qualifying for the Champions League next season.
Yeah, so a lot can change in a few weeks, can't it? I mean, off the back of the round of 16 win for Manchester United, things were looking very rosy, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer given the job on a permanent basis. Let's hear from the Manchester United camp. We'll hear from Scott McTominay in a moment. First of all, centre-back Chris Smalling.
For large spells, we pressed them quite high and we made it difficult for them. It's just unfortunate we couldn't get that goal, because I thought we created a lot of good chances.
Yeah, I thought in the first 10, 15 minutes, I thought we showed them far too much respect in terms of how we set about to go and press. And then after that, we adapted really well and we started to take control of the game. And obviously, we looked the better side. But as I say, it was just unfortunate that we didn't get a goal whenever we were on top. But as I say, it was probably an entertaining night to watch on the telly. Barcelona, they're a top class team, and it's going to be difficult to get the ball, and they're going to have patches where they have the ball. And you know, it's not as easy as go out and press like mayhem and not recover the ball. But I thought after that we did so well, and it was a credit to all the boys for how they performed tonight.
Yeah, I agree with McTominay's point about the early stages. They probably did show and back off Barcelona a bit too much, which is part of the reason Barcelona lobbed it over the back of their defence.
Yeah.
It was like the easiest way to make an incision. What did you make to Barcelona in attacking sense tonight? Coutinho did have a chance saved by David De Gea, but it didn't seem to really be clicking into gear like, say, the win at Spurs earlier this season, or the way it did at home to Lyon in the round of 16.
No, Messi was relatively quiet, particularly in the second half. Suarez, I just thought Suarez just looked a little bit short tonight.
Well, he didn't have a lot of...
He worked hard. You said he worked hard.
Yeah.
And Coutinho had that one opportunity that was well saved by De Gea, but...
Will they care too much?
No.
1-0 away from him at Old Trafford.
It's a good result, isn't it?
Great result.
And we heard from him there, Scott McTominay, I thought, did a terrific job in midfield, actually. Him and Fred together were very dynamic. They did close Barcelona down, but you listen to what he's saying there. And he's saying, I thought we did really, really well. Chris Smalling is saying, well, I thought we made loads of chances. But the bare truth of it is they didn't have a shot on target. And they've lost the game 1-0, and now they have to go to Catalonia and they have to win.
But I think United, Kev, to be fair to United here, they went into this game, they went into the knockout stages, knowing we are not really at the level of, say, a semi-final Champions League team. from their point of view, it was merely about staying roughly competitive in a two-legged situation.
Yes, and they are still in this tie. There's no question
exactly
about that.
Yeah.
Given where they've gone to Juventus and won, they've gone to Paris and won, they will feel
about Juve as well. Yeah,
they will feel they are still in this, and they do have the players to score against Barcelona. The problem is going to be keeping them out at the other end, because I cannot see United having control of that second leg at any stage. So it's going to be, can they make the most of their opportunities? Can they score first?
Is it an opportunity, though, as we mentioned his name before kickoff, Juan Mata, is it an opportunity for him to play from the start?
Where does, so does he come in, though?
Well, when United get that ball, they do something with it. They didn't do that tonight.
Tonight was the night. Tonight was where you went at one stage of the second half. Okay, fine. We've broken the back of this. We've stayed in it. Now you take either Fred or McTominay off. Mm. You bring Mata on and you say, right, here is the guy who can play the positive passes. Here is the guy who can knock it through towards the edge of the area or slide the wing-backs in. They played wing-backs. They had Dalot on one side. They had Young on the other. From an attacking point of view, they were almost non-existent.
This is risk, isn't it?
Yes.
This is what they're on. They're in the dugout there and thinking, if we take off one of those holding midfielders, let's call them that for the sake of that, they might start unpicking us. Messi might drop a little bit deeper.
That must have been the thinking. The thinking is, we want to be going to, I'd rather go to Barcelona 1-0 down and rather than run the risk of going there 2 or 3 down, because they're, like you say, they're still in the tie, but we're finding it hard to see where a victory is going to come from.
I just wonder how long the fans will wear this for, because you get to the point where you think, we are Manchester United. Yeah, and I understand that they're
they
not
know
at
where
the
they
level.
Are, though, Kev. The fans know where they are. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer knows where this team is
but
now.
There was a spell
they're
in
not going to go
half.
Home and saying, what on earth were we doing there?
But there was
they'll
a spell
know
in that first
the
half where they were, you could hear the fans were annoyed. There was a spell in that first half after they'd seen Barcelona dominate those opening exchanges, get that goal, and you think, we has to be more than this. And I understand they're still in the tie. I understand they'll go to Barcelona and feel that they're still in this. But I think there was more to give there, and had they taken those risks, there was more in that. Barcelona weren't at top gear. They might be next week.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said as well, he wanted Paul Pogba to put a stamp on the game, and he didn't do that over the course of the 90 minutes. He didn't do that. And these are the situations where he needs to at least show something where he can do that.
There was a brilliant moment in the first half, actually, where he played that through ball for Rashford, which was excellent. But Ter Stegen's such a good sweeper keeper.
Yeah.
He just I was like, where on earth did he come from? United might be in better fitness shape for the second leg. We may have a razor-sharp Lingard and Martial by the time we get to...
Sanchez might be on the bench.
Alexis Sanchez, going back to his former club, of course. But we're back in Barcelona here to go through to the second leg. And if did Coutinho do enough to definitely start the second leg if Ousmane Dembele is fully fit after his hamstring injury?
I don't think so. He had the one chance, which he struck well. It was a good save by De Gea. Did he manage to really impose himself? I don't think he did.
He got taken off for the 4-4-2 that settled Barcelona defensively a little bit.
It was a good move. Although Sergio Roberto was very good when he came on, started making some great runs down the right. Arturo Vidal ran around like a man possessed, bumping into everybody like a dodging
car. But maybe you need that sometimes. Maybe you need that. Yeah. Although he did give away about 3 free kicks.
The dial was turned up to 10. It needed to be up to 7 or 8, I think.
Okay. Gents, thank you very much. Manchester United beaten tonight. We'll get more reaction from both camps. Ernesto Valverde being interviewed in the tunnel right now, the Barcelona head coach. 1 defeat in 20 in the Champions League, but of course it was that crushing one at the hands of Roma last season. Wednesday's other tie got underway in Amsterdam with Ajax taking on last season's finalist Juventus. Mark Scott saw this one.
Ronaldo has it in the centre circle area, spins it on for Cancelo, who's coming forward, stands up the cross. Ronaldo! It had to be him! Cristiano Ronaldo on the stroke of half-time and against the run of play puts Juventus in front at Ajax. Neres! It's 1-1! Super strike from David Neres! Ajax back on terms within 30 seconds of the restart. How about that from Neres? And that is no less than Ajax deserve. Douglas Costa off the post! Oh, millimetres away from putting Juventus back ahead on the night.
Well, let's speak to Mark Scott. Mark, I think it's clear to all who saw the game that Ajax will feel perhaps a touch aggrieved they didn't come away with a victory. Great game, first and foremost.
Yeah, it was. Terrific game. Ajax were at it from the word go. There was so much talk about the youthfulness and the lack of fear that they have, the bravery on the ball, and the message from their coach, Erik ten Hag, was that they were going to stick to playing their way. And that's exactly what they did. They hassled and harried Juventus, who employed Alexandro and João Cancelo as the two fullbacks in the back four to try and push up the pitch. But what actually happened was Juventus were pushed back by the aggressive pressing that Ajax employed so well. They forced Juventus into a number of errors, and they kept the likes of Mandzukic and Ronaldo quiet. Matuidi didn't get on the ball either. They struggled to assert any authority, and it was a real smash and grab that Juventus went in ahead at the break. Ajax fell asleep. They did so twice across the course of the first half. On the first occasion, Bernardeschi put an effort narrowly wide, and then Ronaldo buried a header after a lovely ball in from Cancelo. His 125th goal in the UEFA Champions League. Only Lionel Messi is within 50 goals of Ronaldo. Deary in me. The competition. Just let that sink in. But it didn't sink in for long for Ajax, because within 30 seconds of the restart, they were back level. Tremendous goal and tremendous spirit from the Dutch side. And David Neres actually dispossessed Cancelo, who put in a wonderful cross for Ronaldo's goal, but was then robbed on the halfway line. Neres sped away, and the Brazilian got into the box, wriggled into a pocket of space, and then bent it beyond Szczesny. And Ajax got on top after that and had a hatful of presentable chances. Juventus defended well. They made changes. They brought on Douglas Costa. They brought on Dybala as well. Douglas Costa, as you heard in the commentary, hit the post late on. But they had an opportunity just before that, Ajax. And if anything sums up the faith that they have in the youth system, Jurgen Ekelenkamp, 19 years of age, brought on for his European debut. He's only made 5 first-team appearances, the 19-year-old. He played for the second string on Friday, but he was brought on, no fanfare, got on with it, and he nearly got a winning goal as well, denied by a save by Szczesny. And I think that Ajax need to be applauded for the way that they played, applauded for the faith they've put in youth, and they've got a chance going to Turin next week.
Well, let's hear from the Juve goalkeeper who kept him out, Wojciech Szczesny.
There were two teams that played completely different style of football. They play very high and they try to press. We are more compact and we have a lot of strength in our back four, and then we try to hurt them on a counter attack and set pieces. So it was a good game. In the end, I believe a fair result.
Yeah, perhaps fortunate not to concede more goals on the night. Juve. David Neres, Mark, who got the equaliser for Ajax. There was a story during the run he posted on Instagram that the way he met his girlfriend, he went on Instagram and just said, "I am David Neres, come to me," which I know is your online dating technique.
Yeah, but I haven't had as much success as he has, unfortunately.
But, I mean, what a tremendously confident player. What a brilliant player. Just made his Brazil debut. There won't be many who've seen him, perhaps, before the knockout stages of this competition, but he's lighting up at the moment.
Yeah, and he really did take centre stage in this game. A lot of talk beforehand about Dusan Tadic as an attacking force, but although it was Hakim Ziyech who had the majority of opportunities in the first period, peppering Szczesny's goal, it was Neres who really stepped up in the second half, and it was his tenacity in taking the ball off Cancelo, as well as his skill in bending in the strike for the leveller, and he was industrious all evening and typified Ajax's performance. And it's good to hear the Juventus players being fulsome in their praise. The midfielder Bentancur said that they played well, Juve, but Ajax are a very good team. There's 90 minutes left in the tie, and they scored immediately after the interval, which made everything very difficult for Juventus. However, he reckons they finished the game the better and they can be confident for the return leg. I'm not so sure about whether they finished the game the better, but they may well be confident about the second leg. Chiellini could be fit for them in that game. He obviously missed out in this one because of injury. And Ajax will be without Tagliafico after he picked up a caution, which rules him out of the game in Italy. So I can understand reasons why Juventus may be confident about the return leg, but certainly Ajax deserved to come out with a lead from the first leg.
Yes, interesting, Mark. I think Ajax are confident We've been hearing from Dusan Tadic, who says that he is very happy to go into that second leg with a 1-1 scoreline.
It's difficult to say. I think Juventus is one of the best teams in Europe, and you need to give them always respect. I think we dominate more game, but still I think 1-1 is good result. We have some chances, we maybe should score, but we didn't do. But yeah, we will see in Torino what happened.
Mark, I loved that second half response from Ajax. Conceded basically on the whistle and then scored immediately after the restart. Does something like that give you the feeling that there's a good enough character that Ajax can go and win the game in Turin next week?
Well, it's worth remembering they lost the first leg against Real Madrid still came through that tie pretty comfortably. So I'm sure that Erik ten Hag and his entire squad will be brimming with belief. They had so much confidence tonight. I know that they're technically gifted, they have talent, they have ability, but the thing that really struck me tonight is it looked like a team full of UEFA Champions League veterans, the way they went about their business. There was no case of them being starstruck facing another team littered with household names of football. They got on with the business. Ronaldo was anonymous apart from scoring. I know some people say, well, that means Ronaldo's done his job, but from an Ajax perspective, they kept Juventus quiet for the main part, and I think that along with the amount of chances they had on goal, they had double the amount of attempts on goal, and they had six on target to Juve's one across the 90 minutes. They were by far the better team, and I've got a feeling they will go to Turin and they'll get the job done.
Mark, quickly, man of the match for you from tonight, the Johan Cruyff Arena.
I would have to say that Frankie de Jong was magnificent.
Mark, thank you very much. A reminder of the other scoreline tonight in the Champions League, by the way, if you're just tuning in for our post-match coverage, it's finished Manchester United 0, Barcelona 1 at Old Trafford. Let's hear from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who says he was happy with the way his players responded to going behind.
We didn't start great, but great goal, great movements by Messi and Suarez, I have to say. And then they're a little bit fortunate that it comes off Luke and it changes direction. So, of course, that's a blow, but I thought we settled well. I think you could see straight away when they scored a team gathered together and, like, let's stay in this game. Not like PSG now that we go and get another goal behind. So we're still in this tie.
They are. I don't think any, Mike Sewell, I don't think any suspensions, am I right, from a Manchester United point of view?
Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw, of course, yeah, after that first half yellow card. Do you think they'll do, I mean, they sort of start with a back five in the first leg tonight, or appeared to be a back five. Do you think we're going to see something similar in Barcelona? They were slightly unorthodox at the Parc des Princes when they went about that game in the second leg.
Yeah, I guess so. I think they'll be concerned. But they don't want to let Barcelona get an early goal to let them settle in. I think they'll probably approach the game in a similar way, I think.
It's about balance, I think, isn't it? It's interesting, quite a few, including Ole Gunnar Solskjaer there, have talked about being too passive early on, not pressing intensely enough early on, and they paid the price for that. So they will be happy for Barcelona to have the ball in certain areas, but you can't let Barcelona get comfortable, because eventually they'll pick the way through a moment of great quality for the goal, and that will happen. So they have to get that balance between defence and attack absolutely right.
The worrying thing tonight was that they failed to have a shot on target in a Champions League game for the first time in 14 years. Milan in 2005, and they've only had one shot on target in these last two home games, the Paris game in the last 16 and this one.
It's going to be a very interesting second leg next week between these two sides. That's all we have time for, by the way, on your way for Champions League Match Day Live. A reminder of Wednesday's results. Manchester United 0, Barcelona 1. Luke Shaw's own goal deciding it. And Ajax 1, Juventus 1, Ronaldo's goal canted out by David Neres in the second half. A reminder to join us on UEFA.com and on the official UEFA Champions League app for Barca United and Juve Ajax on Tuesday. And then Manchester City 0, Spurs 1 currently, and Porto Liverpool on Wednesday. Until then, from Kevin Hatchard, Mike Sewell, Mark Scott and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Busquets over the top. It's going to find Messi. Can he turn and shoot towards goal? No, he can't. But he can try and tee up Suarez, who heads it across, and it's put in the end by Philippe Coutinho. The two former Liverpool players combine. that, the assistant referee has raised his flag. Suarez is onside, and the referee has given the goal after a video review. It's worth pointing out, Suarez's header looked like it was going across goal, not into goal, and it struck the shoulder of Luke Shaw.
Ronaldo has it in the centre circle area, spins it on for Cancelo, who's coming forward, stands up the cross. Ronaldo! It had to be him! Cristiano Ronaldo on the stroke of half-time and against the run of play puts Juventus in front at Ajax. Ajax coming forwards now with Neres into the area. Neres! It's 1-1! Super strike from David Neres! Ajax back on terms within 30 seconds of the restart. How about that from Neres? And that is no less than Ajax deserve. Ajax 1, Juventus 1.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.